Boucher up top to Barnes. Scotty. Grady. Corner. Gray! He's knocked down a couple.
So the Raptors are 16 and 28. They have very little chance of making the playoffs. They've traded Pascal Siakam, the last major piece of their 2019 championship run, and they've lost three or four games since trading the person who is likely one of Masai Ujiri's favorite ever players. However, there is something to be positive about. The Raptors, as Masai and Darko have said, are fully in their rebuilding phase. They continue to play Darko ball and racking up 25 plus assists every single game. RJ Barrett is looking like a walking bucket every time he plays, and Emmanuel Quickley, from averaging three assists a game at the Knicks, has gone double-digit assists in both of his last two games, including at New York. Well, we're always a very optimistic duo when it comes to
Toronto. Absolutely, yeah.
Am I correct? Should we be seeking forward in this new journey right from the bottom? I mean, as Drake says, you know, we're fully starting from the bottom now.
Yeah, and I want to go further to the bottom, Kamel. Despite all the good things we've seen in the play, we've, like you said, we've accumulated some losses. And I think the important thing to mention here is, what is our plan for the remainder of the season now that we've traded Siakam? And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't believe we've discussed the Siakam trade on the last week's podcast. I think it happened in the last week. So we'll shortly get into that and the implications of that trade and how we're both rating that trade. But I had a look at what's happening to our first round draft pick, because I did remember that we traded away to San Antonio. So I thought, okay, trading away all these, you know, top players, what is the point doing it at this stage? Of course, there was a point because, you know, there was impending free agency for some of those players. But in terms of our own draft pick, okay, we're going to miss out on it, so we don't want to tank too much. Maybe we're looking to, you know, potentially sign one or two players before the free agency deadline finishes. But what's the story there with our draft pick? It's top six protected. And where do we stand as of right now in terms of bottom teams across both conferences? So in the league, we are the sixth. I believe we have the sixth worst record across both conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So I think just carry on tanking. Maybe we'll get to fifth or fourth worst. And then that way we guarantee we're not going to probably drop from, you know, four to like seven or eight. That way we actually get our draft pick this year, which I think that's ideal for us. The earlier we get these draft picks with our young timeline, but not so young timeline, these are all going to be players who are entering their third or fourth season next year. That's probably the plan for now. Play some good basketball. We don't mind if we take some losses. And if it has to come to it, if we're playing so well that our record's slightly too good, maybe towards the end of the season, just do a 76ers, just tank on purpose. Play, I don't know, man. Let's play Jordan Nora 35 minutes. Let's play Garrett Temple minutes. I think that's the way to go.
Well, what's indicative often of a team's direction is obviously the minutes distribution amongst their new players. And since Siakam came in, and let's do a quick nod, because the Siakam trade has been discussed on other outlets to death, but we can do a quick nod, of course, remind listeners that it was traded for Bruce Brown, Jordan Nwora, and Kira Lewis Jr., as well as a couple of picks. Quick, just off the bat, I mean, what do you think of that trade? A lot of people were saying it's not enough, but a lot of others were countering it with the fact that it was an expiring contract. So it's the best we could have got at this stage.
Yeah, and we discussed it offline, Kamel, via text. Maybe it was the best package on offer for him, given that we were going to lose him for free anyway. But I voiced my frustrations offline that this is what the punishment we get for Masai waiting and waiting and waiting to make this trade happen. If we if we carried out this trade even two seasons ago. I think two seasons ago it was feasible. We weren't challenging for the title. Siakam really was our only all-star player. I think maybe Van Vliet actually either got the nod there that season or he was close to being an all-star. But either way, it was still clear that we weren't really a title contender. At that stage, we could have... Imagine we draft, traded away Siakam then when he was 27, 28. We would have got four more top quality first round picks. And now we get essentially one decent first round pick, because two of them are Indiana Pacers first round picks, which are also protected. But these are in the next 3 years, two of these picks. And in the next 3 years, Indiana are probably going to be among the top three best teams in the league. So not the best package. The return players, we couldn't even get Benedict Mathurin, who was probably the player that we wanted most out of this trade, in terms of a good young talent on the Pacers roster. Obviously, we weren't going to get Haliburton for Siakam, but we didn't, in my opinion, we didn't really get anything useful in return that fits our timeline. Maybe you want to say one or two things about Bruce Brown, who in our fantasy basketball league is probably the most picked up and dropped player in the whole league. I think the brother has been involved in about 40 transactions. He doesn't have a permanent home. He's just wandering from team to team to team, looking for an owner who actually loves him. Maybe Toronto is that home for him, Kamel.
So I want to say on that, Bruce Brown, I know you said we couldn't get, you know, Nembhard or Mathurin, but Bruce Brown is actually a very sneakily good acquisition, because Masai Ujiri did not get Bruce Brown to remain in the team. He did not get this 27-year-old player who really doesn't fit the timeline of this young core to stick with the Raptors, even as a vet. He got him to flip. A lot of teams have already, I mean, if you look at Woj and Shams, a lot of teams are already interested in getting Bruce Brown. And you look at, if you can flip him for a young player and a pick, suddenly that Siakam return extrapolates to become even better. And it's a reason why, despite his age and despite the direction that the team is going in, Darko is continuing, probably on the instructions of the front office, to play him. He's averaging 23 minutes a game. And to be honest, he's looking good. I mean, there's a lot of off the box score, outside of the box score stuff, he does very well. And I think any team, especially those looking for some depth, those contenders looking for some depth, will be very, very lucky to have him. So I just wanted to move on quickly then, in a related note, to the direction that the team are taking. Now, obviously, we've mentioned Bruce Brown getting minutes, but it seems that the obvious direction is build around Scotty. This was displayed none other than last night when Scotty Barnes led the team with 41 minutes. You then have the young players we got back from the OG trade, Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett, 37 minutes each. Again, they've been going 35 plus every single game, and that's despite form. I mean, we mentioned Emmanuel Quickley getting double-digit assists. He shot 3-for-13 last night. He's not exactly what you'd call a walking bucket at the minute, like his compatriot RJ, but because we are rebuilding, it's that kind of playing through growing pains as such. And remember, you know, they're 23 and 24 years old. They are still developing as players. That's the philosophy that we're undergoing at the moment. My question to you is, are the others in this rotation, and I'm talking about Gary Trent, Jontay Porter, Chris Boucher, and Grady Dick, are they good enough to build around? Are they, if Darko gives them 20 plus minutes a game, is that worth it by the end of the season?
Who are the names you threw in there? So you mentioned Grady Dick, and who are the other? You said Boucher, did you?
Yeah, I mean, I'd count Boucher as still, I mean, because he's sort of developed so late, I'd still count him as kind of a developing player. Then Jontay Porter as well, and Gary Trent Jr.
Okay, those are some interesting names. Boucher, I mean, he's 31 now, which is crazy. I had to check.
No, in my mind, he's 24.
I know. And the reason being, for Raps fans, we'll know that he came into the league. I didn't realize he must have come into the league at like 26, 27, which is mental.
He only came in at 2018 he came in the league.
Yeah, so yeah, he came in at about 25, actually. That's crazy. That he's 31. That's so he's well now. Probably is he looking at our roster? He might be our oldest player, which is absolutely hilarious. I think he might be. It's between him and Dennis. Oh no, Garrett Temple.
As well.
Yeah. No, it's Garrett Temple's definitely our oldest. But who do I want to get minutes off the bench? I mean, I like how we're playing Porter for now. I don't think Porter's anywhere near polished enough to be getting 30 minutes a game at center with Poeltl out. And so he's averaging about 20-ish minutes and starting each game, which I think that's good enough to just help ease him into things.
That will go down when Jakob Poeltl comes back, of course.
Yeah, I'll probably go down to like 10 minutes a game. So let him get some run now. I'm not quite sure why Thad Young. He's basically the backup big for Porter. Thad Young is now 35. He used to be, well, his stats, his defensive stats come out are actually still fantastic. If you look purely from his defensive metrics, I had a look at his defensive rating, and he is among like the top, at least the top 50 players in the league. I think it was maybe even like top 30, top 20 players just by pure defensive rating. But the eye test for me says otherwise, because he was playing five for us and he's undersized in that position. And he's no longer able to keep up even with bigger forwards. There are a number of plays against the Heat where, of course, it was Bam Adebayo, who's obviously a very athletic player. But there were some of the other Heat players were just so easily blowing past him when they brought him out to the perimeter. So if he's not really able to keep up on the perimeter anymore, which I don't think he is, and if he's if he's undersized to be playing a five, which he definitely is, then I don't know how much space there is for him to play once Poeltl comes back. But as a makeshift big at the moment, sure, we can use him. But that's one player who I don't see any point as to why once Poeltl comes back. We've got other young players we're looking to develop. He should be playing at most 10 minutes a game, if that. And at the moment, he's like playing at least 20 minutes a game. So that's one change I would make. I don't know about Schroeder, man. What do you think about how many minutes you want to give him?
So I wanted to focus on the young players. I honestly think Schroeder's gone at the end of the season. He was brought in, I think he was promised that starting berth, but he didn't really. There were sort of reports that he didn't respond amazingly to the acquisition of Quickly. And although he's been averaging sort of 20, 25 minutes, and kind of, as we said in the last podcast, leading that second unit, I think he's good enough to be sort of a good piece on a contender next year. So I think almost his time is almost up with us.
I don't disagree with that. Maybe, what about Grady Dick? Grady Dick seems to be getting about 15 minutes a game in the past couple of games.
So that's nice, because I mean, he looked really, really bad to start. We know that. And even in the G League, he was still chucking up bricks. But then he sort of came against New York, and you know, it ain't easy to play at New York, and drained three threes from six attempts behind the arc. And you know, it's that kind of these little games, these little cameos giving him confidence. And I think the Raptors coaches know that he does need a summer of kind of conditioning to get used to the physicality of the league. As long as his shooting looks okay, it's fine. In the last few games, he's been doing fine. You know, he's an okay rebounder. We need to work on his playmaking a little bit. But it's that shooting stroke that is really, really important, that physicality will come. Do you think that there's any prospects for Jordan Nwora? I admit I didn't see him play too much at the Pacers. Is there any intel on whether he could be a piece or whether he's just kind of maybe a salary filler in that trade?
I think he's a bit old. I liked him for Milwaukee.
25, come on.
Yeah, but he's not going to develop into like a borderline all-star or anything like that. I think if we should be looking to develop players who we think, okay, can get
close to an all-star level.
Yeah, but who's on this roster that you can develop apart from Dick?
Into that kind of player, yeah. Give the minutes to Barrett, give the minutes to Quickly, give the minutes to... I'd prefer Porter over him because he's younger. He could have the potential to become something when he's been in the league for 4 or 5 years, and his role I think has become pretty well defined. Good shooter, decent defender. He's a solid player. He's a solid rotational NBA piece. Sure, if they want to give him 20 minutes a game, I wouldn't be against it. Like I said, when he's playing playing alongside Antetokounmpo and the rest of them in Milwaukee, I liked him. I thought he was a pretty good player. Didn't see much of him at Indiana, like yourself. But seems as if he did have a season. Yeah, so he must have been injured in the 2023 season, but he was averaging 13 points a game, but he only played 24 games. So potentially, yeah, it looks like his time at Indiana, he must have been injury ridden.
But isn't developing these rotational pieces something that the Raptors have sincerely missed in the last few years? And if you talk about your ideal rotation going forward, you tell me if I'm going wrong in terms of Raptors are rebuilding, this is who we need to start and get minutes going forward. You start with Quickly, you start with Barrett, you start with Scotty. That's your front three. When Poeltl comes back, you start with Poeltl as the big, and then you kind of choose between Jonte at the four, or you kind of put Gary Trent at the two and move everyone one up. Is that fair to say? That's your kind of top six. You need minutes for obviously Grady Dick. I think Darko likes the potential of Boucher. I mean, if we're counting him, as still has some potential. But then, who are these other minutes going to? Surely, investing in someone like Nwora rather than giving minutes to Dennis Schroeder. And I know results do still matter to these young players in terms of their development, but I don't see why you need that disparity, really. As you say, you know, Thad Young getting minutes, Garrett Temple getting minutes, like, why? Like, this isn't the direction that the team needs to go in. Even if Otto Porter Jr. comes back into kind of favor, he's 30 years old. Like, there's no need for him to get minutes. He's not going to be part of Scotty's team.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I actually can't argue with that. I've just had a look at Nwora and what happened there. I was being a bit blind because he looks like he was traded halfway through last season to Indiana, which is why I didn't. Yeah, he was there for like 20 games, which is why I didn't really see anything of him there. And what's happened is because both Toppin and Jarris Walker are both playing really well for them, he just wasn't really in the rotation in Indiana, so. He was playing very well by the look, just from the stats wise, towards the end of last year. So I don't see why he can't reach that level again. Like I said, he's a solid shooter. So if he hasn't had any injury issues as well, sure, give him some minutes.
So I think it's fair to say, though, that the Raptors have finally chosen a direction. Fans who jumped on the bandwagon after 2019, it's not going to be fun. But I think if you look at the franchise from a perspective, you know this is now necessary. And I mean, I'm excited. I mean, people say the 2024 draft class isn't great. But then again, people were saying the same thing about years like 2020. And, you know, you could see some quality players coming out of that. So I'm high on the Raptors. They've chosen the direction. I think the one move they need to do before February the 8th is probably flip Bruce Brown for a young player who we can give minutes to and develop, and another pick. And I think we're well on our way to a solid rebuild.
Yeah, I think so. And more than anything, we're not one of these tanking teams that are going to be terrible to watch. We've stayed competitive in all these games. We haven't even delved into the games, and I don't think we need to, because we played pretty well, but our opponents played better.
Well, the one game we can delve into is the Miami game, and that was straight after Siakam got traded.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, I'm sure all of you have seen it on social media now. We posted a video on our Twitter, Balling in the Six. There was one particularly beautiful move which involved every player on the court, which involved a mix of kind of screening, drive, and kick. And it kind of defined Darko Borg. So as you say, you know, we're still going to be very, very nice to watch. I think if you ignore the kind of points scoreboard, it's actually a very good season for Raptors.
That's it. In that game, Quickly almost got a triple-double as well. He had 17, 9 assists and 8 rebounds. So he had a particularly good game. But I saw the Grizzlies highlights, didn't see the full game. Likewise, I saw the Bulls highlights as well. All of these games, we were just missing something down the stretch, but we were very competitive start to finish. Very competitive against the Celtics as well. Obviously, this is pre-Siakam trade, but just don't expect us to be getting blown out. Well, we got blown out a little bit against the Knicks, but I don't expect us to be getting blown out by like 20, 30 points on a consistent basis. Like, we are going to be just competitive, and that's all you can really ask for a team that's kind of looking to tank.
If you ever feel down on the Raptors, just remember we're not Detroit. This has been Balling. Welcome back. We're gonna keep trucking through. I know we were very depressed last season when the Raptors had a similar record, but as we say, the team now has a direction, and we are fully on board with team rebuild.
All right, peace out, everyone. Hope everyone has a nice week.